Good morning. It's Political News Wednesday. News alert, news alert. Looks like it's going to be Biden versus Trump. The news is in. The count, the votes are in. It's going to be Biden and Trump in 2024. Listen, I couldn't think of a better matchup going into the next election cycle than that. So really excited. We'll dive into it just a little bit, but we've got a lot of news today. Some crazy stuff. We've got King Barbecue in Haiti eating human beings and just causing a ruckus in Haiti. I've personally have friends over there right now getting involved in this revolution that's going on, this gang takeover. And if you don't think that can happen here in the United States or will happen in the United States, well, we'll talk about it. Also, we got this Boeing whistleblower who unalived himself in a very peculiar way, right in the middle of some testimonies. He just wrapped it up. He had one more day to testify. He's been fighting this since 2017 after 32 years of working for this company, just pulling the rug out from underneath him. And then on the last day of testimony, he commits suicide. We have to mention what his lawyers had to say about this. Very bizarre. We also have Daniel Burr's testimony, which is really not good for the Biden administration right now. It's very strange that he would come out and do this. There's a lot to argue about with it, so we're going to get into that. And then to wrap it all up, we have this very bizarre school beating in Missouri, but the beating is terrible. And it left a girl in critical condition. But what's even more terrible is the school's response, the insensitive response, and how disconnected public schools are with reality. We have to get into it. We got all of this and much, much more on today's Political News Wednesday, brought to you by GhostBed.com, FactorMeals.com/Wolfpack, and The Wellness Company. Hit it, Joshua.
The growing calls across the nation to defund the police.
To end policing as we know it.
Off the charts violence in New York City. 11 people shot in just 8 hours on Sunday.
This is about the police officers who every single day put on that uniform and they run towards danger when we run away from it.
They're saying that they've got a black screen on their end. We were having video issues yesterday. For those of you guys who are just listening, this is a live show, a live production. So things do go wrong. Things do get a little bit crazy. Joining me today, Josh from Deadlag Media. You're like, where's conservative Ant? Where is that beautiful man? He's on his way to Mar-a-Lago to hang out with the Trump family. So thoughts and prayers, THOTS, and prayers to our good friend conservative Anthony as he makes the drive across the great state of Florida. Notice that we are both wearing red pill thread shirts. I'm wearing my Killery shirt because we have a real Killery suicide going on that we have to talk to. But red pill threads will be taking over night shift TSI. So it'll be night shift TSI. It's still a C-minus media production, a failure stop production, whatever, but it's brought to you by red pill threads. They have so many contacts. They're so in the know. Obviously, that's why their company is called red pill threads. We become very good friends. They're actually making a whole failure to stop line of t-shirts. So everybody that's been wanting failure to stop merch, it's now, you're now going to get it. You're now going to have a place to get it. And it's somebody that we're actually partnering, friends with, and podcasting with, and we can actually trust. So go to redpillthreads.com, get you some of these really cool shirts. You got the Tucker Carlson one on right now. News with Attitude, NWA. It's Tucker Carlson and Ice Cube. Is that Ice Cube?
Yeah, Ice Cube.
Ice Cube, yeah. Love these shirts, by the way. And they always get I get good reactions out of them in public. I like to wear them in public and have people being like, ooh, ooh, Corn Pop. I love that one. So many people are always like, Corn Pop's a bad dude. And I'm like, you know, being all cheesy. We got a bunch of people in the live chats. David J, Falconator, Loren, Pot Roast Malone, Diesel Tech, Tim Finman, back again. Dude's always a chatty Cathy, and I love it. I like his perspectives. Anti-Hero Podcast. By the way, they just came out with a Tim Kennedy thing. And I guess because we're speaking of Tim Kennedy, I don't want to say too much, but we'll jump into the first story today, which is Haiti. But there is a number of people that I know working really hard around the globe and lots of different places. How many people are being evacuated around the globe since the Biden administration? Like, what embassies are being evacuated or have been evacuated since Biden took control of his regime here?
The one in Haiti brings the total under his administration to 6. We have Afghanistan, Ukraine, Sudan, Niger, and Belarus. I had to look them up to find out all of them, but he has 6 embassies under his watch that have been closed.
That means if you're a company like Save Our Allies or something where you have to go in and exfil these folks and allies, you know what? Maybe you're voting for Biden at this point because they're keeping you very busy.
Very, very big. It's one of those things where even Florida right now, they have put the Florida's Border Patrol agents and Florida's state, like their law enforcement, put on alert because they've been said that they're going to potentially get a bunch of these boats from Haiti that are come across with immigrants that are, these people are actual refugees versus the ones that are coming across the southern border. But another thing that's problematic with this is the barbecue guy has been releasing the criminals from their gangs, from the prisons. So thousands of these people that are now free, that were criminal gang members, could then slip into these boats and become quote-unquote refugees. And now you have the same problem you had in Haiti. You'll have it in southern Miami or wherever they migrate to.
You know, 70% plus in some of these major cities of violence comes from gangs. So think about that. If 70% or more in major cities of their violence comes from gang-related or gang-affiliated members, that's a lot of destruction. Think about how much safer a place would be without gangs. And now we are allowing all of these young, very young male immigrants across the border. Where do you think they are? What do you think they're going to cling to? Gangs. And the gangs are going to get even bigger. And we're going to have like a scenario, like kind of like the early Americas, where you just have like big Irish gangs and, you know, you big Italian gangs and things like this. But it's coming back, which means the violence is going to skyrocket. I want to talk about this Haitian gang leader with one of the coolest names I've ever heard in my whole life. I feel like if I'm going to be the nemesis in the comic book, if I'm going to be the antagonist of the story, I want my name to be as cool as Barbecue. That's his name, Barbecue.
You're not looking for Eric the Hugger, that you're known for just hugging your enemies to death and they just give them hugs and cuddles and that's, they just die of love? You don't want that?
It would be Thug Hugger because it rhymes.
Thug Hugger.
Yeah. This is coming from the New York Post. A gang leader named Barbecue is now the most powerful man in Haiti as the U.S. evacuates Americans. This is a crazy story. Haiti's most notorious gang leader, known as Barbecue, may be the most powerful man in the nation as the prime minister remains unable to return home. On Sunday, the U.S. announced that troops had evacuated Americans from the U.S. embassy and additional forces were brought in to secure the diplomatic compound in Port-au-Prince. Jimmy Charzer, leader of the notorious G9 and family gang, is in command of the bulk of the gunmen, stirring anarchy in its capital, and he vowed to fight until embattled Prime Minister Ariel Henry resigns. Quote, I am ready to make an alliance with the devil, ready to sleep in the same bed as the devil, Charzer told his supporters last week as his fighters destroyed police stations and other government facilities. We're talking about some really evil people here. And just to give you a glimpse of how evil they are, his name is Barbecue. And where do you think he gets that name from? It gets it because he's setting people on fire. He's setting them on fire while they're still alive. There was a video on X that shows a Haitian man tearing the flesh from the leg of a burning corpse and then eating it. So like this gang's kind of mantra. This is like their black flag, so to speak, is barbecuing their opponents and eating
them. This is the type of violence that is literally a stone's throw away across the water from southern Florida. And at the same time that that's going on, we have people in the United States want to block freeways to protest for to a ceasefire. This is what's coming. They're literally going to burn you alive and rip your flesh and eat it while you're alive. Like they are going to eat you alive. These are things that like vicious animals. These are things that like the most dangerous things of the jungle. That's what they do. They eat their prey alive. But these are humans eating other humans, barbecuing other humans. This, like, we were talking about this beforehand. Like, it's kind of a cool nickname, but you have to, like, that's a nickname that you kind of have to. I called the dead leg because my leg's dead. I have nerve damage in my, like, I earned that cool nickname from a traumatic event. Like, I don't, like, yeah, it's a cool nickname, but he's earned it because he's burned people alive. That's what's literally just across the bay there in from Florida down into Haiti.
When you get groups of gang members together, they do extremely evil shit. Now, I would like to give you a Tanstradamus 20-year prediction. It's coming to me now. Tanstradamus prediction shows a very Chavez-like T-shirt, but with Shazier's face on it as liberal children or liberal Jen, whatever it is, 20 years from now, this is all coming to me right now as we're live. You guys are seeing my ESPN in action. They're wearing these shirts as if he's a hero. They have a red beret on them, I'm seeing in my vision. And they really see this guy as some kind of Haitian hero. That's the left-wing children 20 years from now. But like, let's just like let them go back to this podcast. Let them be reminded that he was expelled from the police force in 2018 for going into the La Saline slums, killing 71 people, raping 7 women, and burning over 400 homes down to the ground. That's where he was expelled, but it was too late. He had already been so influential in forming this G9 family gang. What a dirtbag. But best you believe that actually 20 years from now, play this video out of Missouri. These are the children. These folks' children, these high school students' children will be the one wearing the shirt with the beret. It'll be a very like, Viva la Chavez, Viva La Chazier style T-shirt. Play this video for us real quick. This is in our own country. If you don't believe that this isn't coming to a town near you, you're crazy. For those of you who are just listening, you have a large black female and a couple of white folks in the area. It looks like just a regular high school fight, but the fight goes to the ground, and the very large black female takes this very skinny white girl, pulls her up by her collar, smashes the back of her skull violently into the concrete, causing seizures. Nobody is helping. There are several black students all fighting, stepping over the body. This woman is in critical condition, almost in a vegetative state right now. You can see, and I apologize for not giving you guys a warning before we showed this, but I mean, she is fucked beyond all repair. This girl is, they have knocked her out. And then what you have is very just animalistic behavior going on in the background. Everybody's kind of fighting. Nobody's helping this little girl. I don't know which sides are which. I don't think there's racism involved. I know that mainstream media is like, if this would be an outrage, if that many black people were, or that many white people were around a black person. No, it looks like this white girl was behaving with this group. She just happens to be the only white girl in this group. I don't think it was racism. I think it was a white girl and a black girl fighting, which is, you know, common and normal shit. But what's animalistic about this whole thing is that there is a human life in a fight, probably a very juvenile and stupid fight that nobody really deserves to lose their life from. And if you'll notice, the cameraman is videoing the girl seizing, convulsing, dying before him on the concrete and not helping, which is, you know, you say, how can somebody like Barbecue Chavizier or whatever his name is, how can he elicit a group of human beings to join him in his evil ways? Well, here you go. These are the dumbasses. These are the idiots fighting over, you know, who knows what. And they're fighting over this way and allowing a girl to die in the streets like this. So, you know, can it happen? Yes. Is it going to happen here with this influx of young illegal immigrants? I would say, yes, it is.
It's just scary that like we learned about it way back in the day when I went through the academy. They talked about, it's called the bystander effect, that people will just stand there and watch stuff happen. And you don't think that it's going to happen until you're literally, this is what our society has come to. As soon as something crazy starts happening, everyone stops and goes, oh, what do I got to do? I got to flip my phone out. I want to be the next viral sensation because I videotaped this instead of being the person that goes out there and says, hey, maybe let's not beat each other to death. Let's not put someone in the ICU with traumatic brain injury. She's going to live with this stuff for the rest of her life. Like we talk about life altering decisions with the gender affirming care. This is a life altering decision. She will live with this for the remainder of her life. And as someone who lives with debilitating nerve problems for the rest of his life, it sucks to wake up and have to deal with this stuff. So we're very, very quickly going down that slippery slope.
Yeah, I'm not so angry about how the fight turned out. I feel like if you're going to engage a mutual affray, you have to, if you don't know how to fight or you're not in the fight, you shouldn't be fighting in the first place. There's no reason to fight. I teach my kids all the time. My kids know how to fight, but my kids understand there is no reason to fight. If we can get away, we're going to get away. If we need to leave the skate park because of an angry adolescent teenager throwing a fit, then we will leave. I mean, really, fighting is kind of the last resort. Now, if you're swung on and this fight is happening and you're, it's too quick for you to go away, then let's go ahead and get rocking. But I don't, you have to know that you could get stabbed. People aren't going to fight fair. If you're going to get involved in a fight, you have to be willing to deal with the consequences. I'm not so appalled by the woman getting her skull bashed into the back of the ground. It's bad. It's terrible. It shouldn't have happened. But what I'm more appalled by, what sickens my stomach more, is the behaviors directly after. Nobody, not one person cared. And it's because that entire group were nothing but animals. They're below human at this point because of their the way their parents raised them, the way their school system raised them. They have literally created animals that are acting much like this Haitian barbecue gang leader, eating people and burning them alive, raping people, very animalistic behavior. And then the screaming, I mean, the streaming, the videoing of this woman dying, potentially dying, on the concrete, to me, is the most appalling part of this fight. I mean, it's crazy where we've gone to. Now you ask yourself, well, how did we get to this point? Well, if you go a little bit deeper into this, this school in Missouri actually prides itself and has taken very much pride in incorporating a justice strategy for disciplining children, and have created a curriculum based on equity, inclusion, and diversity. And I want to, before we show you the principal of this school, I want to just show you a couple of stats here.
School, remember? Huh? We remember that
right, because this happened school. In two different schools. So we'll go to Hillsborough in just a second. But this school that we're looking at, this Missouri school that has incorporated this, literally, they prided themselves on this justice strategy for disciplining children, where they don't really discipline. There is no authoritarian in the school. This is all about equity and inclusion. And their report card, put a picture. It's in the banners. I believe in the banners, Josh, producer, Josh. Go to the report card. It's under brand or banners.
Oh, there we go.
There it is. So this is the Hazelwood East High School district report card that they've given themselves. They've received a C-. By the way, Josh, you read the next slide. What is a C- these days? What's the score? What's the percentile of a C- these days? 40. A score of a 40, meaning that you got 40% or more, 40 to 54% correct on a test. So if you can get, if there's 10 questions and you get four of them correct, you have a C-. So this school, go back to my report card, has received a C-, the school district. They have a C in overall academics. Their teachers receive a C-. Their clubs, a C+. Diversity, a C. College prep, a C. Administration, a C. 5% scored a passing math test. Only 5% are proficient in math, according to this report card. 21% are proficient in reading. But hey, I'm so glad that you guys were, you know, are so interested in diversity and really being the cornerstone of this justice strategy for disciplining children. Obviously, it's working. Obviously, the discipline that you saw in that video is bar none. It looked pretty 40 percentile to me. Meanwhile, the 15-year-old girl, Marnice Duclos, is being charged with an assault, and the accused is being held at a local jail. And the victim, I hate to say victim because I like to be objective here. I think it's mutual affray. There's no victim. You square off with somebody, you're not a victim anymore. You're a mutual combatant. And there's nuances to that. But in general, you square off to somebody like that, especially in a crowd that big. You know, there's a lot of ego at play. There's a lot of bad decisions being made on both parties. I don't like to call that a victim. But the woman who got her skull bashed in, who will probably have to live with the consequences of that her whole life, right? Neurological damage and brain damage. I mean, you could tell. You could tell that's lights out, skis. I mean, that was the most violent head bashing that I have seen from teenagers. That was like Children of the Corn style shit.
There was like back in the day when I used to watch WWF and WWE and ECW, because I was huge into that stuff. When the human body hits concrete or hits the ground, there's a thud that happens. And when she was bashing her head in, you could hear that. There's a very audible, distinct
like a thud. Melon. Yeah,
that's the thud of the inside of the brain smashing on the inside of the skull, and that's just causing all kinds of damage. But the question comes: we wonder how we get this far, and it's this lawlessness that we think about, and we go to the her testimony talking about lawlessness and this rules for thee and not for me. Do you have anything? Did you catch any of that yesterday?
I'm guessing you're talking about the Robert Burr. I'm sorry, Robert Herr testimony. Yes, this is very, very strange. And I know you're going to dive into it. I think for our listeners, I just would like to point out, though, in this testimony from Robert Herr on the Biden case, if you really look at the nuances of this case, it's funny to me that we're talking about crimes that were committed a while ago, a long time ago, when we still had some like cognizant recognition from Joe Biden. Is that a medical term? Did I use it correctly? Probably not. C-minus at best. I can't, you know what's fucked up real quick though, is I can't even call myself C-minus anymore. Okay, like you guys in the chats know, like for you guys have been here for a long time. You guys know, like I've always, the name of our media company is C-minus Media. I feel like we're now B+ according to this new curriculum. I want to go back to this really fast, and then we'll go back into Robert Burr. But put up your stuff really quick. This is out of North Carolina. There's now two separate measurements in the school systems for performance and grades, one for Black people and one for everybody else. Not for Black people, one for Black and brown people. And this is from Chapel Carborough City Schools. Race continues to be the most significant predicator for academic and discipline data across a variety of measures. We are the Ephesus community are committed to working to eliminate racial inequities by challenging or changing policies and procedures that negatively impact marginalized students and families. We are committed to having an open and often uncomfortable conversation, which value one another, call others into the work, and recognize racial history and power. These we acknowledge and affirm the following: Black and brown lives matter. Okay, imagine being told this at a city council meeting. Black and brown lives matter. In fact, they more than matter. Systemic racism impacts our classrooms, curriculum, relationships, academic, and discipline data. So systemic racism impacts data. So we got to change the data. All of this to say that we're changing the grade scale for Black and brown people versus white people, which to me is the most racist thing ever. It's like, it's literally saying you're too stupid to make a 75% or best. So we're going to lower that standard to 40. I mean, it's very, to me, that's very racist. Show a picture of the woman that's presenting all of this bullshit. Oh, wow. Geez. Could you imagine? You know, and I love how they have to sit with their accolades posted behind them. These academic psychopaths, these narcissistic, insane diversity nut jobs cannot stand to not be showcased without their accolades behind them. Go into any of these nut job therapists, these people who hold themselves above everyone else, right? Your school counselors, your school deans, and your professors and your recruiters. It's like they have to sit their chair up above you to look down on you and then put all of their accolades behind them as if that makes them more of a person than you are. And it drives me nuts. And this isn't a black or white thing. This is like everybody in these positions. It's like this weird brain. I don't know where it started or when it started. The military loves to do this shit too. It's like, here's my sleeping quarters and let's put all the schools that I've been to, you know, why do I need to walk by your sleeping quarters and know that you're airborne, air assault, dive, combat, you've got this list of, all it is just clout chasing, selfish, it's a pandemic in the ruling elites, and I hate it. You know, it would be almost like, you know, if you wore your karate belt everywhere you went, as if it made you more, you know, if your karate belt made you a better chef or cook. Maybe that's what we should do, Josh. Maybe everything you're doing, you should have to have a belt for it. So we know, so it humbles you up. Like if you're cooking, but you haven't been to culinary school and you haven't received a blue belt in cooking, then you have to put on your cooking white belts. Everybody knows that you're not fucking shit. So you should probably follow the recipe because you're not Anthony Bourdain. You only have a white belt in cooking. Or maybe like, you know, you could wear your black belt in teaching, but then when you leave the school and you get in your car, you have to put on like a white belt. So that when the cop pulls you over, oh yeah, you just suck at driving. You haven't gotten your blue belt and driving yet. So like every aspect, you should have to wear a belt so that you are kind of brought down. You don't think just because you are a rock star in one spot, that means you're just a rock star over everyone, everywhere. It just annoys me this elitist mindset that isn't real. You know, these people aren't elites. But anyway, this broad created this very racist inequality, I believe. And I think it's terrible. So we go over to this whole Robert Byrd thing. And I know we want to jump into this Robert Byrd thing. And then we have this whistleblower. But first, today's show brought to you by ghostbed.com/wolfpack. Everybody's like, how do you have so much energy? How are you just this awake, popping, grooving, jiving? How you, what are you, taking 100 bumps? You're taking tootsies to get up in the morning? No, I mean, actually, I drink like 3 or 4 lattes before I kick off the store. The show brought to you by my wife. But it's because I get a good night's rest on my ghost bed while sleeping. Not just on my ghost bed, but you guys know that my ghost bed pillow and my ghost bed together make like the ultimate Power Ranger type situation. You know that the bed is kind of like an individual Power Ranger. My pillow is an individual Power Ranger. My cooling sheets, the cooling mattress topper, those are the other two Power Rangers. But when all the Power Rangers converge, they make the Super Dinosaur Power Ranger. And that is my ghost bed complete with the adjustable base. They get it all right now, 50% off. This is a company that I visited personally. These are beds made in the, help me out here because I'm feeling patriotic. USA. 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 God, I got a freedom boner there for a minute. These beds, I got to go and see their beds. I got to see the company. I love it. And they really care about veterans and first responders. They've been with us since day one. Guys, support us by supporting Ghostbed. Please head over to ghostbed.com/wolfpack. Sleep so good, it's literally scary. And we're talking about 0% down, 0% financing. And that's if you've got whoever this school chick is here, credit. I'm looking at her right now. I know that she doesn't. She's got to. This woman doesn't have good credit. I can tell she's the type of person that has to be. She has to be the one that competes. She has to keep up with the Joneses, right? Like for her, it's not her. It's not her accomplishments that make her who she still has to buy the fancy thing. This bitch drives a Lexus or a Mercedes. I know it. And she also has the handbag that costs too much. None of the things that she can find working for the school board system, but she has to be above everybody else. And so I'm sure her credit is not all that great. And listen, 0% down, 0% financing, even to somebody like that, or because you know, everybody needs a good night's sleep. And maybe she sleeps on a ghost bed, changes her wicked ways. Maybe barbecue over in Haiti just needs a good night's sleep on a ghost bed. I'll tell you what barbecue needs, though. Factormeals.com, 100%. He needs to stop eating people and over to factormeals.com/wolfpack50, 50% off meal planning to the next level so that you, while you're working and overthrowing a government, you don't need to stop and eat somebody. Stop eating like a peasant, stop eating like a warlord, and start eating like a high-class gentleman that you are. Go to factormeals.com. Let them take care of your meal planning. It's meal planning to the next level. The smoothies, the shakes. They've got protein-heavy meals. I love the bacon ranch chicken with the green beans. Ooh, you can customize these things. They've got calorie-conscious, protein-heavy, vegan, vegetarian. If you want to get swollen, jacked like me, head over to factormeals.com. Use that promo code WOLFPACK50 today and get you 50% off a week's worth of Factor Meals. Give it a try. I promise you you're going to be all in it. Megan Brossman, she's a big drinking bro. She's a big Wolfpacker as well. She's up on there. Jay Durrell, he's up on that thing. I think Lumber Chef was playing around with it for a little while, if I'm not mistaken. We got a lot of fans in here that you guys can discuss. I know Will Cray was up on the Factor Meals, I think, for a little bit, or he's still going. I know Anthony's up on that Factor Meals. Lumber Chef in the chat, as a matter of fact, says, if humans taste like chicken, okay, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to read that in the middle of this ad read. That was for this ad read. But he does say Factor Meals is damn good. He says it's real good. And head over to Factor Meals. And then you got to when the end of the world comes, because we know it's coming. We're about to cover a couple of things here in this next segment. The end of the world is coming, and this is why we are so proud to be hooked up with
the wellness company.
The wellness company. Yeah, I almost started in my ghost bed ad read again. Mental health starts with a good night's sleep. That's how much coffee I had. Are you prepared for the unexpected? In a world where chaos seems to lurk around every corner, being prepared is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. That's where the wellness company comes in. Imagine having the peace of mind that you're equipped to handle any medical crisis, from tick bites to the latest pandemic. The wellness company's medical emergency kit is your lifeline, packed with essential medications like ivermectin, amoxicillin, CPAC, and more. This kit is your ultimate preparedness solution. The wellness company's team of renowned medical professors like Peter McCullough, Dr. Harvey Reich, Dr. Drew, who are getting on this show soon, and more truth-seeking doctors, listen, go listen to Joe Rogan and hit any of these doctors on the Joe Rogan episodes, and you know they're the real deal. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit the wellness company health/RB. Use the promo code Wolfpack. I'm sorry, it's thewellnesscompany.health/wolfpack. Use the promo code Wolfpack for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today. Rest easy to motto. Thank you, Wellness Company. Guys, we specifically only allow, I don't like doing ad reads because my job here for first responders is to entertain you. You might be sitting in your car going, God, this guy is a fucking lunatic. I'm entertaining you. I'm trying to keep you awake. You think I'm happy acting like this, doing all these voice reflections? You think that makes me happy? You think I'm proud to look my kids and my wife in the eye doing that? Acting like a nutball? No, I have to do that because I don't want to sit here and go, welcome to the wellness company. Get your medications for the pending pandemic. And you lose. I have to do this to pay Josh. Josh got a raise this month. Who else got a raise this month? I don't like to talk about people's monetary things, but Kendra, she got a raise this week. Yeah. A lot of people because of you guys, because you paid Chaser, because of the Patreon. By the way, go and follow our Patreon. $3 a month, less than a cup of coffee, supports all of this. We love it. Okay. I have to do this so that that you guys will be entertained and not bored of my ad reads. But even more importantly with the ad reads is that we spend so much time turning down nicotine advertisers, vape advertisers. We haven't sold out to any pharmaceutical advertisers. We haven't sold out to, listen, we tried it. Like, we thought you guys were better. We thought you guys might be liking to throw some dollars on some FanDuel or something like that. But you guys didn't use the promo code for that. And so we were still going to get paid because the engagement was there. The clicks were there. You guys listened to the ad read, but because it wasn't selling, I turned down because I don't want to bore you guys. guys. I don't want to bore you guys with ad reads that you're not going to use. We've had ad reads on here before. And if they don't do well, if you're not responding to them, then I don't continue on with that company. By the way, these companies, they look at our numbers. They don't really look at the analytics so much. They look at the number of listeners and they give us the money. So, but I don't want to lose you guys. I don't want to lose you guys. So I only partner with people that I can, one, do these ad reads that I care about and that I think you need as a first responder. So I think you need a good night's sleep. I think you need to eat well as a first responder. And I think you need to be prepared as a first responder for whatever happens. So Will Gray says, just go for the money, sell your soul. That's for my OnlyFans. All right. Let's jump into this, and then we're going to do this Robert Burr testimony, which is extremely bad for the Biden administration. This is really bad for the administration. Will anything happen?
No,
but it's kind of the coffin. It's kind of the seal to the coffin. I always want to call him O Biden, but Trump is in the primaries, did so well that he's now kind of assumed the next incoming president.
That's true.
Because he's winning states, he's getting much more votes than he had even his first year in states that he shouldn't, like Hawaii, Colorado, Georgia. So he's doing really, really good. Go ahead and read that to us, Josh.
Yeah, last night, President Trump, as the Republican Party's presumptive presidential nominee after notching the majority for the delegates, he crossed the threshold of 1,215 delegates on Tuesday night, according to the Associated Press, as he won elections in Georgia, Mississippi, Hawaii, and Washington, following a near sweep of Super Tuesday's states a week before.
So you have this news, but if you go to President Biden on X right now, the Biden administration says record numbers for the Biden administration, blatant, clear lies. This administration, the Biden administration, the Biden regime has lied to the American people more than any other regime in the history of politics. The blatant lies on Twitter are so disgusting, are so bad. And the mainstream media will not report on it. By the way, mainstream media is not blasting all over mainstream media that Trump has enough delegates to be assumed the next coming president either. They won't do it. But the lies here are so gross. And this Robert Burr testimony here, which, by the way, Robert Burr resigned, correct? He resigned. Yes. Go ahead. You know more about this than I do.
Yeah, so he was appointed the special counsel to investigate the Biden mishandling of classified information, the documents. He used to be the attorney general from Maryland. And a couple things I want to point out, he was in an open session yesterday and he had been in closed sessions before. And the difference between an open session and a closed session, the biggest one is the cameras. So both parties are guilty of this. So I'm not going to say that it's a Democrat only problem and that it's not a Republican problem, because they're going to do the same thing. However, in this case, it's a very big Democratic problem. Whereas yesterday he was there to testify about his investigation into the Biden documents. And you have Democratic representatives that want to interject everything that they can about Trump into this. Has nothing to do with the investigation. The investigation is completely separate. And he wanted to make sure that was very important, that this was an independent investigation, completely separate from anything else. Had nothing to do with Trump, had nothing to do with anything else. They were just looking at the facts of the case. So knowing that, when you go and you, because there's no way that we were just talking earlier that we could probably do a couple hours on this testimony. He testified for several hours yesterday. So being able to take the testimony and break each specific part and all the different people that ask questions, it would probably take weeks and weeks. And they know that, because his report that wasn't supposed to be public, they made it public literally about 12 hours before he was able to testify. So things that he wasn't going to be able to testify because they weren't public became public knowledge. So what does all this come down to? They need to prove intent. And one of the things that one of the representatives wants to say, that you showed that he's not guilty, that he wasn't, that he is, you exonerated is the exact words. And if I could have played this quick video of that little interaction.
Special Counsel Herr, thank you for being here. Thank you for your work In your investigation, you reviewed more than 7 million documents and conducted 173 interviews of 147 witnesses, including President Biden. Is that correct?
Yes, Congresswoman.
And your 15-month investigation cost several million dollars and resulted in a comprehensive 345-page report with several dozen pages of appendices. Is it correct that, as it says in the first sentence of your executive summary, that your investigation concluded with an assessment that, quote, no criminal charges are warranted in this matter?
Correct.
So this lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete exoneration of President Joe Biden. For every document you discussed in your report, you found insufficient evidence that the president violated any laws about possession or retention of classified materials. The primary law that you analyzed for potential prosecution was part of the Espionage Act, 18 U.S.C. 793E, which criminalizes willful retention or disclosure of national defense information. Is that correct?
Congresswoman, that is one statute that we analyzed. I need to go back and make sure that I take note of the word that...
This little interaction right here, this is very important.
You used exoneration. That
Mr.
is not a word
Herr,
that
I'm going to continue with my questions. I'm going to continue with my questions. I know
that
the term
I ultimately reached related to whether sufficient evidence existed such that the likely outcome
you exonerated
a conviction.
I know that
I did
the
not
term willful
him.
Retention
report,
has a Mr. Herr, it's my time.
It's her time. She says that she interjects the words intermingled with quotes from the report to make it seem like he was completely exonerated, like nothing happened. But I'll play another clip.
And he's like, I didn't exonerate him. I didn't exonerate him. He's like, that's not true. And she's like, this is my time. This is my time.
This is my time, Eric. This is my time, Eric. This is my time, Eric. That's exactly what she just did. She put words into his mouth. He tried to correct her. And then she said, no, shut up. It's my time.
Wait, let's do it like this. Let's do it like this. Josh told me in this report, in this last call report, that he is coming out as homosexual tomorrow. Did you or did you not email me that, Josh?
Well, those aren't exactly
my time, Josh. This is my time. This is my time. You emailed me that you're gay.
There was an email, but it was next week instead of this week. But that's exactly what happened. But I'm going to play another video. This is from the same testimony from yesterday.
I think you told us, Mr. Herr. Page 231, you said this. President Biden had strong motivations. That's a key word. We're getting to motive now. President Biden had strong motivations to ignore the proper procedures for safeguarding the classified information in his notebooks. Why did he have strong motivations? Because, next word, because he decided months before leaving office to write a book. To write a book. That was his motive. He knew the rules. He broke them because he was writing a book. And you further say, and he began meeting with the ghostwriter while he was still vice president. There's the motive. Mr. Herr, how much did President Biden get paid for his book?
$8 million.
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure if that information appears in the report.
Sure does. There's a dollar amount in there. You remember?
I don't. It may be $8 million.
$8 million. Joe Biden had 8 million reasons to break the rules, took classified information and shared it with the guy who was writing the book. That's why he did. He knew the rules, but he broke them for $8 million in a book advance.
Which, by the way, is 7.8 million more than my book deal.
Only a little bit. If we're checking the math. We're going to end up going back and forth over back. The Republicans are going to say what they want to say because they're going to go after one side of the report. And then the Democrats are going to go after the other side of the report. But the gist of it is you have the president on camera multiple times denying that this exists, that this happened. Then you have this report that has actual no shit evidence that it no shit did happen. And it contradicts his statements that he's made on camera to the press and statements and press releases multiple times over the past 3 years. So he's lying straight through his teeth to the American people. And we have the receipts for it this time. But the problem is the likelihood of them being able to convict. So when they look at, as a prosecutor, when you're looking at taking a case to trial, Yeah, the reason why a lot of cases don't get taken to trial is they don't think the likelihood of a jury to convict. It's not that they don't have all of the evidence is there and they don't have the elements of the crime and everything. Like, it's not that it didn't happen. It's the likelihood of to be able to convict. So let's flip this rule and we'll completely change that this isn't a classified documents. Let's just say this is a 70-some-year-old grandmother that was involved in some incident on January 6th that was nonviolent, had no criminal record, had nothing ever. So generally, prosecutors in years past would look at that and say, it would probably be hard to get a jury to convict a 70-some-year-old grandmother on nonviolent offenses when you have other people doing violent offenses that you could be spending your time and resources on. So they'll elect not to bring charges. So in this Biden one, it's not that they don't have enough evidence. It's not that the elements of the crime aren't there. It's not that everything wasn't there. It's they don't believe they have enough to get a jury to get them across the finish line. You don't want to start a race or you don't want to start one of these fights because you're going to have the defense is going to come out and they're going to try to poke. He literally legitimately said in his opening statement, the defense is going to come out and try to poke holes in our case. We're going to be getting into a legal fight with the sitting president with the powers that he has as the sitting president. So the likelihood of this going to trial and likelihood of this actually convicting is very low. And for that, he elected to say, we don't recommend charges for this.
Right. And now do you have the video of them talking about him being too old, but not he wasn't when he committed these crimes, he wasn't that old. So like you can't use the defense that he's too old because he wasn't too old when he committed these crimes. You know, it would be like if I murdered somebody 10 years ago, but now you're like, oh well, Eric's too old to go to trial for a crime that he committed 10 years ago. Like that part to me doesn't make sense. Like, you know, that's why you have lawyers, you know what I mean? Because you can't do it yourself anyway. It doesn't matter how old you are.
Here's a statement that best summarizes all of this.
A reasonable person would conclude that Mr. Biden knowingly retained national defense information and failed to deliver it to an appropriate government official, and that he knew his conduct was unlawful. And I think that's where we end up here, and that's what the point is. Over the last three election cycles, there's only been three people who have ran for president: Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Donald Trump. All three of them have been accused of mishandling classified documents. Only one of them has been prosecuted. That's what the American people see. That's what we see. We had Hillary Clinton, who ran a program called Bleach It on her server. They used hammers to destroy evidence. Joe Biden has a 50-year history of misplacing classified documents in numerous different places. All of these cases have the same underlying elements of the crime, the same fact patterns, and yet we only see one person being prosecuted.
Man, that needs to be our reel for the week. That sums it up beautifully. Let's jump into our next segment here, which is the Boeing whistleblower who was suicided this week. This is a sad story, to be honest with you. Now I have questions on this. Listen, I don't want to be insensitive to this John Barnett. He worked for Boeing for 30 something years and you know, called it quits on Boeing and then went into whistleblowing. You know, and this is amidst the door blowing off of one of these things, losing a wheel in flight, a mask that only 40% of the masks on these planes work during an audit, out of all the Boeing fans. So like all the oxygen masks, like only 40%, worked or something.
One in four, 25%.
It was 1 in 4. Yeah. 25%. So I was, you know, I always try to give the benefit of the doubt. You know what I mean? I'm always an optimist, right? Powered by optimism. So he comes out and he whistleblows because, you know, if you haven't been keeping up, but Boeing and all these other airlines have just, you know, all in on this diversity and inclusion and, you know, people with mental health working there. And a lot of the money's been spent and the decline in the flights and people missing flights being canceled and just the chaos that we've all seen And we've all experienced, right? Like, what was it last year, year before last? I mean, it felt like Southwest and Spirit Airlines, they were canceling flights. Like, they're like, oh, there's a crazy storm. And you're like literally looking at the weather map and you're like, no, there's not. Like, what are you talking about? And like, everybody was kidding. So, you know, it's a struggling industry. And now you have this whistleblower who goes out and testifies in multiple testimonies, and he's done. He's got another one coming up in June, and then he had one. What was it? Was it today, or Friday?
I think it was testified on Friday and was set to go back on Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, something like that.
This weekend.
Something like that, and he didn't show up for the final testimony. Whoa, where is he? They go to the hotel. Self-inflicted gunshot wound with his fingers still on trigger. Now, at least I listened to a mainstream media thing where they were like, that's really weird that he killed himself and his finger was still on the trigger. No, that happens all the time. A lot of times it'll still be depressed, like bang, and everything shuts down and the finger just stays back and it won't let it go. Funny story on that. And I would love to be a guest sometime on some of these other shows. That's why I say, if you listen to like Sarah Gonzalez, if you listen to Tim Pool, if you listen to Dan Bongino, if you listen to Breaking Points, listen, if you leave them reviews and put, you know, throw my name in that. Like, I want to get on there as, you know, I've been on one American News Network a few times and some other ones, but you know, I don't know, I would love to go on these shows because I listen to them all the time, and we have a very large growing news network now here on the Failure Stop Podcast channel, thanks to all you guys. But I was with a rookie going into a house to clear it after a check on welfare, similar to this case, which was a check on welfare. And my rookie, she was a female. She pied around the corner. She was doing a great job. And she was pie in the corner. Oh, shit. Put it down. I'm like, what do you see? She's like, he's on the couch. He's got a gun. It's pointed right at us. And I was like, hey, man, you don't have to do this. Like, put the gun down, blah, blah, blah. So we ended up getting supervisors there. We tried to get, like, the little robot to go around the corner. And he's, you know, dead, staring at us with his finger on the trigger and the gun was pointed at us, but he was dead. Self-inflicted gunshot wound. He's dead, but his finger was on the trigger and the whole 9 years. So that really does happen. And listen, there's no conspiracy why this guy died. This was a very old man. And he died with his wife's urn in his lap and a picture of her in his lap. He was probably 80 something years old. And I think the gun that he killed himself was probably 80 years old as well. It was just an old rusty revolver that I'm surprised even went off. But it, you know, it was very, very, very sad. But it was kind of beautiful too, right? Cause he had the urn and a picture, in his lap, you know, and that's love, right? That's romance. I don't know what I would do without my wife like that. So, good to see. But anyway, so yeah, this guy gets found dead in his apartment, or in his hotel. Right. And how many, why is it that all these whistleblowers that commit suicide, like the FBI whistleblower in Miami, why do they always die in their hotel rooms? Why don't they go home and kill themselves? Why don't they, you know, go to the place that they find peace and happiness? Why do they always go back to the hotel room to do it? Very odd. That's very weird. And what are the chances? Why is it that it's always these whistleblowers? Like, you know, and here's the thing too, the attorney on this whistleblower, Barnett's lawyer, Brian Knowles, described the discovery as tragic. He says, when she first reported on Barnett's death, John had been back and forth for quite some time getting prepared for this testimony, said Knowles, who told Corporate Crime Reporter that he was set to cross-examine Barnett on Saturday for what would have been day three of his deposition here in Charleston. Let me go to... John was in the midst of the deposition in his whistleblower retaliation case, which finally was nearing the end. Knowles and his counsel, Robert Turkowitz, said in a statement to Time magazine that he was in very good spirits and really looking forward to putting this phase of his life behind him and moving on. We did not see any indication he would take his own life. No one can believe it. Now, I have lots of friends that have committed suicide, and I will tell you that I'm never surprised. I haven't been shocked yet. When somebody was like, Eric, your uncle Mark committed suicide, I was like, Well, you know, he was a troubled man. He was a troubled man, you know. When somebody said, I had a friend while I was building my distillery, passed away, committed suicide. He'd quit his job. He had given away his tools. He, I was one of the, and it was so bad that his closest friends took him on the Appalachian Trail for 3 days and ended up having like a family, like a friends and family meeting where it's like, do we go and do an intervention? Do we go in and put him in a, you know, a health service to prevent this? And the consensus was, oh, he'll definitely commit suicide then. Like, he'll say everything he needs to say to get out, and then it's over. Like, no. There's no way this dude's not killing himself. It's just something he's got to work out on his own. And he did. He killed himself. It was very sad, but we all knew it was coming. My neighbor fought with his wife, committed suicide, but, you know, wife's cheating on him, going through a divorce. The kids didn't want anything to do with him. They were teenagers and they were kind of like in a bad way. And so you always know, right? We always know. And that's why I always think the Vegas shooter, right? Nobody saw it coming. Everybody testified. They didn't see it coming. We never saw this coming. We didn't know. A good friend of mine from FedEx, richest people I know, the most wealthy people I know, he committed suicide. Super sad story. I love the family. I love his daughter. I love his wife or widow. But, you know, when you sit and talk to them, you know, he was the number two guy of all of FedEx. He invented the machine that you sign for FedEx that has like kind of like paved the way for everybody, UPS, Amazon, everything. They're far beyond wealth, millions upon millions upon millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars. But when he killed himself, and I've talked to the wife, the widow, about it, and she says, you know, we could not make him happy. And he would often say that the money was always a curse and that he has lost grip of reality ever since somebody stopped coming in and the money wouldn't stop coming in. I mean, very powerful things that this man said leading up to his suicide, and they're finding comfortable talking about it, right? So it's not to say that people who commit suicide have friends and family who don't want to talk about it. It's not like when somebody commits a crime and they're like, well, I never thought Johnny was going to do it. You know, knowing that Johnny's a meth head and, you know, has been committing domestic violence his whole life. It's not like that with these suicide. Like, people will tell you, yeah, he was troubled or he was sad. In this particular suicide, strangely enough, just like the Vegas shooter, and I hate to be that guy, but like what we're hearing is why we did not see this coming. Like, he was in this fight. He was winning this fight. He was exposing Boeing, and now he's dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound in his hotel, in his truck, wherever it was. You know, and here's the thing that they put out in the news, though. Luckily that the Charleston, the local PD there, is continuing an investigation. It's not criminal yet, but they are continuing the investigation. And here's my only hope for that is that there is some detective that isn't going to be one that will look at it objectively. Like, not like it, oh, it looks like it should be a murder, you know, because, you know, we all want it to be a conspiracy. You know, we want these good guy whistleblowers to beat the nemesis, these evil elite powers. We want to see these guys win, but at the same time, only because we want them to win because they won, not, you know. So if he did commit suicide, but I mean, we have videotapes. You can watch the videotapes. We can get witness statements. We can look at the suicide letter. We can analyze these things and not just put them away in evidence and never see them again. And I think that you can paint a very good picture for the American public, but I think it needs to, either way, it doesn't matter. This doesn't look good for Boeing.
Well, you, like, we talk about what's the hill that you're willing to die on. You know, if it comes to your kids, that's the hill you're willing to die on. That's it. That's the topic or whatever it is. So for him, this was one of the hills he was willing to die on. He quit his job that he had been doing his entire life, something that you dedicate your life to. And the people that work in that type of industry, there's a lot of secrecy behind that because they work on some cool stuff that goes with the defense and stuff. So there's some pride there that, the turnover in that industry isn't very high. Once you're in, you're pretty much in. You don't, because it's so cool and you're happy you're around that. But once you start to see all this stuff and you start to expose it, you got to think, this is the hill he was willing to die on. He got right to the finish line, and then all of a sudden, this is what happens. Like, you can't help but say, this is a little suspicious. And people that go, well, maybe it's not. Well, explain to me why it's not suspicious that a man that has never showed any ideations towards suicide at all commits suicide the day before he's willing, ready to just finally just squeeze the balls of Boeing. Like, you're there. You have him. You have them by the ball. Like, you are in deposition, like depositions where you get to look up their skirt. You get to see all of the paperwork. You get to have their paperwork prove all of the stuff that you have, that you've been saying. You get to go into all their stuff. You're there. And then he commits suicide. It's, to me, there's
play the,
no
play
way.
The clip. Play this clip for us. And then we'll round this thing out.
737 problem. It's a Boeing problem.
So this is coming to us from
Beck. I know the FAA's gone in and they've done due diligence and inspections to assure that the door plugs of the 737 are installed properly and the fasteners are torqued properly.
So real quick, this interview here that we're playing, this is from 2017. So just to give you an idea of like the importance of this, where he's talking about door plugs and things like that. Then you have that now.
Right, the door blew off. He's saying in 2017 that these guys aren't inspecting the door plugs and that they're using parts for the door plug because they couldn't get the regular parts. So they were like, oh, fuck it. Like, we'll just use other parts. He's saying that this is bad. And then guess what happens on the Alaskan Boeing flight this year? The door flies off because of inadequate bolts. He's testifying in this last weekend before he took himself out, at, you know, this is a very Hillary Clinton, like, you know what I mean? Like, boys on the tracks, you know, everybody in the case commits suicide type deal. Are you serious? Are you really? You know, why is it always like the flight Malaysia just happens to have all these elite guys that were on their way to a board meeting? It's just a very, very, very odd. So, a case I want to keep on. I'm hoping the detective that gets put in charge of the case, I want to see this as a movie later on down the road where this guy is brave enough. But, you know, as we know with the Clinton, the Clinton cases, the Boys on the Tracks, go back and read that book or listen to a podcast about Boys on the Tracks. We know that oftentimes, you know, it is a real thing. You know, matter of fact, the FBI agent with the Hillary Clinton Haitian thing that committed suicide, you know, that you now can't find any information on. Back in the day, that used to be public knowledge, and now you can't find anything. So, movie starring Eric Tanzi. Guys, this has been another episode of Political News Wednesday. We do have a Patreon coming to you very soon. We're going to look at George Soros-based funding and the Democrats and what they're doing with that funding and the corruption behind George Soros-backed politicians and why nobody or from the Republican side or the Democrat has stopped this very corrupt and very obvious and blatant corruption involving Soros money. We'll dive into that on a Patreon. I think we're starting to put that work together now. We hope to have that maybe around Sunday, maybe Monday. But we got to do a little bit more research into that and make sure we dot our I's and cross our T's. Tomorrow, very, very crazy illegal shift episode with the Ray Lewis murder and the NFL cover-up. Question mark. Let me put a question mark on there so I don't get sued. Ray Lewis murder? Was there a moita? Did the NFL cover it up? I don't know why I had to use that weird inflection there, but I did. I apologize. And then also we're going to start taking bets on Fulkinator. How many times the Fulkinator references BJJ and Eric Tanzi? She's obsessed with my Brazilian jiu-jitsu. She's all about it in the chats today. And she's referencing it so much that we're actually going to take bets on how many times Fulkinator talks about me doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu in the live chats. I'm just kidding, Fulk. We love you guys. And actually Fulkinator and Bosco are going to start a private FTS Wolfpack BJJ group on Facebook to go along with our weight loss group and our fitness group. I'm teasing you guys. I hope you guys have a wonderful day. For myself, from Deadleg Media and everybody at the Failure to Stop podcast crew, hit that like and subscribe button. Give us a 5-star rating review on all the platforms. Please, 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 please. That helps us. You just consumed however long this was, an hour and 3 minutes of very free content. The least you could do is leave us a 5-star rating review on iTunes or Spotify. You know, we're not asking for a tithe and offering. We're just asking for a rating and review. Go ahead and give it to us. We love you guys. And we'll see you guys tomorrow night for Illegal Shift.
See you.